This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Afternoon. Thanks for being here in the Umpqua Valley. We cover a lot of things on this program, a lot of different types of topics. This one, more of a sobering, serious one in a lot of aspects. State Representative Virgil Osborne in. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
So the Dustin Wallace case has gotten a lot of attention in the last week or two on Lars over the weekend, nationally, internationally, on Fox and other outlets as well, media outlets all over the region covering it. One of the things that didn't always get mentioned, and I think not everybody could backtrack and remember 16 years ago, is that this was actually a Roseburg case. Happened right off of Harvard back, that would be south of St. Joseph's Church, back in the neighborhood back there, on July 10th of 2010. And Dustin Wallace, later convicted and sentenced to life in prison on this case, but it's going his time in prison going before the parole board. Talk more about this.
Yeah, so first off, this is a horrible, horrible case, and I wish we weren't here talking about it today. I wish it never happened, but you know, the reality of it is it did happen. I don't recall most of what had happened from, you know, until recently when I was brought up to speed, but I was asked by District Attorney Wiesenberg to come and meet with the family because I wasn't aware that this was going to turn into a parole hearing. So, it's probably been 3 weeks ago or so now, I met with the family, Tyler and the mother as well, and several relatives, along with D.A. Wiesenberg. And we talked about the details. Of course, the D.A. has more of the details of I guess, the parameters of how he's being released, why he's being released. Technically, he is not released yet. And I think that the odds are in our favor that he will not be released. But, you know, parole boards are... they're not under any obligation to listen. They can do whatever they decide. But this case is just a horrible, horrible case. And, you know, he was convicted as an adult. He was 16 years old, but he was tried as an adult. And he was convicted of two life sentences, one for the rape and one for the murder. And as the details were given to me as how he did both, this guy probably should have got the death sentence.
Well, I remember that case really well. And also, though I can't remember everything I read 16 years ago, certainly, I mean, I just remember how sobering it was to read the court documents at the time that are very deliberate and very specific, more than you want to hear on the radio, about exactly what happened that led to the rape, the murder of Sahara Dwight, who was 5 years old at that point. So in 2012, he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. He was a juvenile, as you mentioned, when the crimes occurred. So was there a shift along the way? What happened in Oregon law that even allows this to be a possibility?
So, yeah, he was actually sentenced to life in prison, and he was over in Eastern Oregon at Snake River Penitentiary up until just recently. They brought him back over to Salem for this parole hearing. But, you know, just to go ahead a little bit, he was imprisoned, and he was not in general population. He was kept in protective custody since he was a minor when he was arrested. And it's, to the best of my knowledge, from what I understand, he still is in protective custody. So he's never been turned back to the general population in prison. You know, so nobody really knows how this guy is going to interact when he actually has to deal with regular people or other prisoners. But in 2019, I think it was, there was a Senate bill, I think it was 1008, that I think that the bill had good intentions. It was going to go back and it was going to say, okay, if you were imprisoned for a life sentence or long term, when you were, say, 13 years old, you should have the opportunity to get at least get parole. You know, that way, basically, I think what the intent of the bill was is not to have kids in prison forever. unfortunately, I think that bill was directed at things like, you know, if a kid maybe had been involved in an armed robbery and somebody was killed, he didn't necessarily pull the trigger, but somebody was killed, so he was charged with felonies and maybe got a life sentence for it at 13. You know, maybe at 30, he could have the opportunity for parole rather than spend his entire life in prison. In this case, I don't think there was ever an intention to let people out that were rapists and murderers. And then, which is something I'm going to go back and try to change, of course, in the next session. We're in the process of writing legislation now to try to remedy that problem. But this is what's happening. And the bill also said, very direct in the bill, it said this bill is not retroactive. So if you were imprisoned before the bill was passed, this did not go back and cover that. Now, Kate Brown stepped in at some point. Don't ask me why. I don't even know why. But she stepped in and declared an executive order to make it retroactive. So now you can go all the way back to, you know, I saw a post on Facebook that Kip Kinkle could possibly be eligible for parole at this point as a mass murderer because he was a juvenile when he was arrested, even though he was tried as an adult. This is just a really bad bill and really bad, bad consequences.
So what's the reaction that you've seen and heard once the word got out about this parole board hearing?
Well, after I met with the father and, of course, the family, I mean, they really blew this thing up, and it's national news. I know the other day I was listening to Fox News, and it was actually on Fox News, and I think there was a petition circulating around. Tomorrow, there's going to be a protest, I think, at 7:30 at the Capitol, not the Capitol. It's actually going to be at the penitentiary. I'm actually going to be there tomorrow for the parole hearing, and I'm going to go up and meet with the family again tonight. We're going to have dinner together, but I think that it has got a lot of attention. I actually, believe it or not, messaged the governor last night. We private messaged each other back and forth, and I didn't get the amount of sympathy that I was hoping to get out of her, but I did get the, you know, thoughts and prayers are with the family, and, you know, I guess that's as far as she's going to go with it. If I was the governor, I would step in right now, and I would say, this isn't going to happen. That would be the right thing to do, but, you know, I'm not the governor yet. We'll see.
Now, the parole board meetings, I presume, are not something that's, like, open to the public.
It actually is open to the public, but there's only a certain amount of seats that are available to the people that are going to go, and it's not that many. I did actually get a seat, so I will be there. The family, of course, will be there. I wanted to speak at the parole hearing, but I'm not going to be allowed to because I'm not family. I don't have a direct interest in it, so I will just be there to support the family, and I expect there's going to be about 20 of them.
Now, is the parole board also considering other cases during the same meeting?
I have no idea. I don't think so. I think this is just his parole hearing.
And when you talk about legislation to change this in the future, do you feel like that's a potential to get that on the docket for the next session?
Oh, absolutely. What I've done so far is, in fact, yesterday, my chief staff and I finished kind of writing up some ideas. What we're going to do is we're going to present a bill that amends the bill. And I think that's the best way to approach this. And it will amend the bill to not allow somebody that's convicted of a capital crime like murder. And this is stuff that, this is how we write bills. We write the bills. We want our concepts approved. And then we send them to the attorneys in Salem. And they come back and say, okay, you can do this or you can do that. It may look like a bill that says we don't want anybody that's been accused of or been convicted of a capital crime under these particular circumstances. We don't want them to be allowed to be let out or something along those lines. So here's the catch. When we do get this done and we do present it, everybody better sign on. Every Democrat, every Republican, they all better sign on, because to not sign on to a bill like this that would correct this problem would be, in my opinion, absolutely horrible.
Have you heard from other legislators about this situation?
Yeah, I have. Senator Brock Smith is planning. I'm going to be with him tonight. We're gonna work on this together. He's been pretty actively involved in it. He'll be in Salem tonight, and he'll be at the parole hearing as well tomorrow. It's been discussed amongst the entire Republican caucus. I brought it to their attention. You know, unfortunately, this bill isn't something that we're going to be able to fix today. This is something that we can start working on in January of 27. But the only person that could probably step in here and do anything immediately would be the governor, and she's not going to do that.
All right, we're going to take a break, talk more on Inside Douglas County. State Representative Virgil Osborne, they interview a podcast after 1, 541radio.com, 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
teachers deserve to be celebrated.
Inside Douglas County, 1247, Lars Larson at One True Wealth Financial at 4 o'clock this afternoon. State Representative Virgil Osborne will talk about the Dustin Wallace case, the death of Sarah Sahara Dwight back on July 10th of 2010. Now the State Parole Board decides Dustin Wallace's future. So what day is that during? Is that tomorrow?
Tomorrow morning, yes. I'll be at the penitentiary at 7:30, and I think the hearing may start at 8.
Okay, so a lot of public discussion about this case in the last few days. Is there a public venue for, even at this late hour, presenting written comments to the parole board?
There is, and it's actually online. Actually, it's a petition, and I don't know if the window. I don't have the paperwork in front of me. I don't know if the window for submitting, testimony is still open or not. At this point, I'm not sure that it would matter that much because I think the family will, they'll be able to speak, you know, directly to this parole board. And to the best of my knowledge, the Dustin Wallace will be there in person. So I mean, it's going to be an interesting. It's going to be tough.
Do you think he'll be in person or on a video link up from another area?
I've been told he's going to be there in person. So the video is an option, but I've never been through one of these before, so I just don't know.
Wow. Obviously, very intense time. Probably something you didn't ever expect to encounter when you got in the legislature.
No, but, you know, the legislature is responsible for a lot of things that happen. Well, we're responsible for just about every law. Well, we are responsible for every law, but sometimes we pass laws, and if you've ever watched anything that I've posted or put out on my social media, we never go back and fix the stupid things we do, right? And the legislature does some things that are just really bad. And, you know, I don't want to get into the politics of this whole thing because, this is not about politics. But we need to pay attention when a law is passed that has consequences such as this. And we're not paying attention. I mean, some of us are. I honestly think your Republican caucus is paying attention because I happen to be speaking with all of them. Some people just don't seem to care. And I do care. This is about kids. This is about families. This is crazy is what this is.
So with all of this going on, it sounds like it's probably been easily at the top of your plate for a few weeks here.
Yeah, it has. It really has. We've been trying to come up with ideas on how we can change this law, trying to come up with ideas on who we can talk to. You know, yes, it's been right at the forefront of everything that I've been involved in lately.
So what about other things happening with the legislature? This time of year, do you have legislative days coming up in the summer?
We do. We have legislative days coming up just in a couple of weeks. But more importantly, this is the time of year when we start writing. We start writing bills and we start putting concepts in place. I have 5 bills right now that I've just yesterday submitted 3 of the 5 for concepts to come back, and these are all centered around child predators and sexual predators and online predators and making. Without getting into details of all 5, making the penalties more strict, giving the police a little bit better opportunities to be able to go after these guys and catch them and prosecute them and keep them in custody, actually.
Now, maybe something for people to know if they don't is, obviously, you're not a lawyer, so you basically put the ideas out there, and then your legislative folks in the council's office work on it, right?
Yeah, correct. We have roughly 20 attorneys that work for us full-time. And so when we present a bill, we come up with a concept. Like, for instance, I'll give you another example. I just have another bill that we sent in a concept yesterday. This centers around drones and privacy of drones and not being able to fly them over, private property and, restrictions on how you can and can't do it in the state of Oregon, not the feds, but in the state. And we've taken that bill. We've turned it into a concept. We've sent it off. The attorneys will look at the bill. They'll look at the law, and they'll look at the constitutionality of the bill, and then they'll write the concept back. They'll send it back to me. We'll look at the bill and say, okay, does this do everything we want it to do? If it does, okay, we're good, and we move forward. Or we may go ahead and make an amendment to it. A lot of times we'll get a bill, and we'll take the bill, and we'll send it back to the people that ask us to write it and say, hey, does this cover everything you want it to cover? And in the case of the police bills, that's exactly what we'll do.
And now for the main session, how many bills can you put out there?
I don't think we have more than 25 that we can do each. And then there's, we get like five priority bills as well. But actually, I take that back. I think during, this is the long session, we can do just about as many as we want. I've seen as many as 250. I don't know that you can manage 250 in 6 months, but I usually put out about 24, 25 bills at the most. But this time around, we're going to concentrate on probably 10.
Any idea how many, what percentage of bills that start out make it all the way to the finish line?
Yeah, sure. So I think in the last long session, we actually completed and passed around 600 bills or 700 bills, something like that. It started at 4,000.
So a lot of bills somewhere in the process don't make it.
Right. Once the concept is put out, then the speaker gets to choose whether or not they end up going to committees, and then the committees have to vote on them. And, you know, it's a long process. It's the bills have to be read three times, first time in committee, and then they go to the House floor for three reads, and then they go to the Senate. So there's a lot of procedural stuff that has to happen per bill. So it's not an easy process. It takes weeks to get a bill through.
And for a lot of lawmakers right now, they're also focused on looking towards the fall elections.
Correct. Yeah. I was fortunate enough not to have an opponent, so I'm more concentrating on doing the work this time around than I am working on campaign stuff. But I am helping other folks with their campaigns as well, particularly some of our local races that they're still in play. But yeah, everybody's looking at November to try to make sure they have a seat.
And do you feel like the GOP has the potential to make some gains?
I do believe we have potential to pick up two or three seats, for sure. More importantly, I think we have probably the best opportunity that I've seen in a long time to pick up the governor's seat. And frankly, our governor has done nothing for the state that's helped our state. And it doesn't matter if you're a Democrat or Republican. Nobody's going to name something that she's done anytime recent. I mean, our homeless issues are horrible. They're not getting any better. Our housing issues are horrible. They're not getting any better. Our taxes are horrible. I mean, I could go down the list. It's time for a change. And I think this is the time to do that change. And I'm hoping that we can get it done.
And a unique situation as well when her polling in Portland is about 60% negative in a progressive, democratically centered area.
Yeah, they've pushed it too far. We've had 40 years of this, and they have gone to the point where they've destroyed the state. I mean, you know, the state, I shouldn't say they've destroyed the state. It's worth fighting for. I think we can bring it back. But I think we're going to need some conservative values. And we also have a David Brock Smith race in play against Jeff Merkley. That's a super, super important race. And I realize it doesn't affect us on a local basis quite as much as it does on a national basis for the state. But, I mean, Merkley hasn't done anything for the state either except complain about Republicans, and that's all he's ever really done.
So as you look towards the governor's race, do you see the GOP uniting behind Christine Drazen after having three or four main candidates?
I think so. I think they're starting to kind of go that way. There's still some people that are, you know, naysayers or what have you. And frankly, if you don't want to vote for Christine Drazen, then you might as well go ahead and vote for Tina Kotek, because that's exactly what you're doing by not voting for Drazen. I am all but over all of the name calling and all of the other, you know, nonsense and the lies. It's done. It's passed. There's, you know, I've worked with Christine Drazen since 2023. She was in the legislature. She was the leader in our caucus. I was on her leadership team. I'm going to vote for her. I'm going to support her. Do I like every single thing that she's done? No, nobody does. I mean, but she's going to make a good governor.
And as you look towards the summer, what other things do you have going on around the district?
Well, we have a Sasquatch Festival coming up, and I should give a plug for that because that's coming up, I think, the Friday before the Father's Day weekend. So I'm planning on attending that. We have lots of other events. We have a Republican Party picnic coming up as well. I have several meetings scheduled with different groups, interest groups. I've actually asked for some meetings with some of the folks that are not on the conservative side, and we're kind of waiting to put some of that stuff together. But we'll just keep doing public stuff and community work, and this, of course, has taken up a lot of time, too.
And why do you think it's important for you to reach out and meet with those groups that don't always agree with you?
I think it's important because I think that when you're a representative, you represent everybody. And I know there's a lot of rhetoric out there. People say, oh, well, you know, he's conservative, you're prejudiced, or whatever, you know, the case. But the fact is, that's all BS. I mean, at the end of the day, I represent everybody in Douglas County. We all have the same issues. We all want to see more jobs. We all want to get rid of the homeless issues. None of us want to see more taxes. We need to be able to build. There's all these things that need to happen. Those questions don't revolve around whether you're a Democrat or Republican. They revolve simply around the fact that you're a Douglas County resident or you're a District 2 resident, and I'm here to help them.
All right, State Representative Virgil Osborne, thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Kyle.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 12:30 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.